let's start first with the Machlokes Rambam Rashi. Let's just review the facts, and then I'll read the Torah outside, okay? So, but since you guys prepared already, let's see what you guys came up with, okay? All right, so again, the Rambam holds the reason why you have to wait afterwards is because there's going to be remnants of meat inside your mouth. Whereas Rashi says the reason why you have to wait afterwards is because when you eat meat, there's some type of fatty residue left in your palate. So far, so good?
Okay.
So the Torah raises two good points. It's not just him, it's Rishonim him too, but the Torah raises two interesting points. One there are two what we'll call nafkaminas. What's a nafkamina?
Practical difference.
Practical difference. What's a practical difference between Rashi and the Rambam? One difference is that if I find a piece of meat stuck in my teeth after 6 hours, so according to Rashi, I got to get rid of it. But according to the Rambam, it's not a problem whatsoever. Okay? That's one issue. Second is the case of chewing meat up for your baby. Yes, they used to do that, and it's not an abnormal thing.
Okay.
Why would they do that? Because a baby can't eat meat. It's too rough. Well, that's not the right word.
Tough,
right. It's too tough for the baby to eat because it has no teeth. So what would the parent do? You chew the meat up a little bit, nice, soft, mushy, and the baby eats it. Now, when I chew that meat up, I'm not swallowing it. According to Rashi, if I chew the meat, right, since I didn't swallow it, there's no issue of that fatty residue. But according to the Rambam, right, once I put it in my mouth and chew it, I'm going to get meat stuck between my teeth, and it's as if I ate meat and I got to wait 6 hours. Okay, I don't want. I know one person here already alluded to it. I understand empirically or scientifically, it's kind of weird to say that if I chew, I'm not going to have fatty residue on the back of my throat, because you might. That's a good question. I'm not here. I don't know about that.
On the back of your throat, you're not going to have it.
Why not? What if I take it all the way back of my throat and then spit it out?
Your teeth.
So what question do you have to answer? What's the main question we have to answer here?
Rashi was a dentist too.
What's the main question? Oh, he's a wine guy.
Being facetious.
Oh, okay. But that's what he did.
I know.
What do you have to answer? What's the question?
What are they disagreeing?
What are they arguing about? It's a very strange debate. What's the debate? What's the machlokas here? Okay? Now, there's a little bit, a little trickier how to define this, because you can only go so far with this type of debate. But nonetheless, we still have to explain it. Because we don't just walk away from a debate and say, Rashi said X and the Rambam said Y. We want to understand what's driving the Rambam to his position and what's driving Rashi to his position. And one last thing. They both agree with each other. They both agree with each other that each phenomenon takes place in the other situation. Meaning that according to Rashi, he agrees it could be meat stuck between your teeth. And according to Rambam, he has to agree there's an idea of fatty residue. So let's put this in more categorical terms. What are they arguing about? Don't worry. First, let's get the. When you have a machlokas like this, the first thing you want to isolate is what's called the point of contention. What problem are they trying to solve? What problem are Rashi and Rambam trying to solve? Don't worry about where they diverge. Let's first start what they agree on. What are they trying to solve? What's the problem? They're trying to do what?
They're trying to ascertain.
Now, I'm going to say it a little fancier, but they're trying to ascertain the mechanism of tziruf. Okay? Which means what? How, and everyone agrees there is some type of association, but the question is, what are we going to use as our barometer to create the association post-meal, back to the first meal? Okay, what are we going to use? Okay, I'm going to walk you through how I approach this, okay? I look at them and I see, what are they agreeing about? They're agreeing about that there's something that we're trying to determine that will create or maintain the association between post my meal and the meal itself. Whereas I finished my Suda Rishona. I finished my meal. I benched. Now something is still tying me back to that meal. What's tying me back to that meal? Okay, that's the question they're trying to solve. What is it that's tying me back to the meal? Okay? Yeah. We're offering a description, which is perfect. And now I'm going to lead you towards what Isaac was saying, was taking your description and putting it in very precise terms. Okay? So I'm going to take what you said, and the way I say it, you'll see, is really no different. It's just a more concise way of saying it. What you're saying by Rashi is very simple. Rashi is going to say, what's Shuman? Think about it. Rashi is going to say, what's the mechanism that maintains my association with the previous meal?
Flavor.
What? Well, what is flavor? It's a what?
Taste.
Well, that's true.
Quality.
What? Now you're going to throw darts in a second.
Tom.
What? Okay, you use Tom. Tom's right. You're right. Flavor. But what do you mean by flavor? What does it mean then? There's two ways I can establish a relationship between post-meal and the previous meal. One is, Rafa's getting there. One is,
there's still what?
Well, notice something. Okay, I'll pivot, and if you don't get it from the pivot, then I'll tell you what I'm thinking. The Rambam never says marach tamo. He doesn't say marach. He just says the possibility exists that you have meat stuck between your teeth.
Or
right?
You don't care about
tamo. Right. But Rashi's telling you, there's the key word's marach tamo. There's a what? There's a
Combination.
What? No, extension. Meaning, what's happening now?
It's not real Tom, it's just extended Tom.
Which, okay, good. Which means what?
Which means that it's...
What mechanism is he using to mitzarif him to the previous meal?
With the leftover remnants.
With the
extended Tom.
Okay, so... Right, so therefore, what is that? What's the Schumann? The Schumann's what relative to this? What is it?
The sensation.
Let's think of a simple Aristotelian term.
It's not real food, it's just the
For sure it's not real food.
The sensation
of
it. It is the quality of the meat.
What do you mean the quality? But it's not meat anymore.
It's not the physical form.
It's the taste. It's the external, yeah. Like...
The association of meat.
It's the external, flavor. Right. Like,
So the original meal is still having an effect on you.
Yeah.
There's still an effect in your mouth from that meal. Okay? Meaning, according to Rashi, when that meal ends, okay... What happens when I finish consuming my steak? It's almost like on a lower level, it's like you took it from DEFCON 5 to DEFCON 1. You still have some type of effect that the suit is still having on you. Okay, so that's Rashi. Rashi's going to say that Marach Tamo means that there's a flavor in the back of my mouth. It's not obviously not as strong as the actual consumption of the steak itself, but there's a constant stream, an effect that's in place from the moment I finish my meal until whatever, Shei Shavos. Okay? Hold on.
Wash your mouth.
One help, hold like the Rambam. He holds a Chazal extended the shear.
No, why would Rashi holds it about the effect? It's about the effect. Why don't you wash your mouth and you're good? You're done. No more effect.
No, because he'd say that effect happens no matter what. It's a halachic idea. There's an idea of an effect.
So why is after Shishos?
But the Rambam says, what am I going to use to maintain a tziruf? Either you use the effect,
the
right? Or you use evidence of substance. Right, if I have the substance of steak in my mouth, that's going to tie me back to the original meal. Simple as that. It's a question of, does it go by the effect or by the presence of the substance? Okay. If I put it in a different way, I'd say the Rashi is a more halakhic idea. I mean, Rashi's saying there's some type of like effect that's always present. The Rambam's saying you need something empirical to base it on. And the empirical evidence is I have substance in my mouth. I have steak. Right? I have pieces of steak. I have actual pieces from my meal in my mouth. So think about it. Those are two... Don't ask me which way it makes more sense, but there are two logical ways that you could tie my period of time after my meal to that meal. Either I can say it's by the effect that's taking place, or I could say by the substance, by the actual physical remnants. Yes. Rashi has to agree. He agrees with the Rambam that you could have pieces of meat stuck between your teeth, right?
We don't care about the substance, we care about the effect.
You're right.
It has an effect.
Okay, but he can't deny the reality of the substance. You understand? He knows there's still a substance there. Notice like this. Rashi and Rambam agree with each other insofar as both phenomena taking place. Rashi agrees that there's marach tam, there's residue, and that there's meat stuck between my teeth. The Rambam agrees that there's meat stuck between my teeth and there's marach tam. They agree with each other when it comes to that. It's just a question of what did the Chachamim use, right, to tie, which one of those two did they use to tie back to the original Suda? Rashi says they used the effect. But the thing is that if I find flex in my mouth, it's because he doesn't rely on the Rambam's concept, therefore what is it? It's still substance of steak. It never loses its status of being substance of steak.
So what the Rambam does.
Oh, but the Rambam says what? The Rambam says they built the association based on substance. But it has to end at some point, right? There has to be an end to the substance. So what is that? 6 hours.
So Rashi holds that also?
What do you mean?
Rashi says
that? Because Rashi can't hold a both... ideas. Rashi can't say it's both a problem of substance and Marach Tam. You understand? Yeah. Once Rashi goes into the camp of Marach Tam, he has to agree that if I have substance in my mouth, it never loses its shame substance. He's forced to say that.
Why can't Rashi say
it again. According to Rashi, you can't apply the barometer that the Rambam has, which is that meat will change back to being nothing. That doesn't work. The Rambam, it only works by the Rambam because it has to be an end point. It has to be a point in time where the association is broken. But since the Rashi doesn't hang his association hat on that concept, he hangs it on Marach Tam. If he hangs it on Marach Tam, the substance is always there. You can't get out of that. Then the reviewer, Ben Yaakov, holds, I can do kinuach in my meal. But let's say I don't have something to do kinuach with. What can I do? I can bench, right? Where Tosos holds, I need both. But not always. Tosos holds that I do I bench, right? And then after I bench, if I find meat between my teeth, I have to do kinuach. Okay? What's that machlokas? First approach I took was that maybe he holds, rather than look at a meal as like a quality, look at the meal via the dishes. And that's not crazy. When you go to Le Marais, right, you're going to have an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. So you have the right, you could argue that each one is its own thing. I mean, think about it. When you have like at the hotel last Shabbos, right? I mean, she brought the waitress kept bringing out new dishes. Each one is a different course. Is like a new course, right? Each course is separate. So you could argue that he holds that a suda doesn't really have a quality, right? It's subject to, it's like a components, and therefore, as long as there's a break in the components, that'd be fine. You could say that. You could say that, okay? But you could say there's another approach you could take, which little out there, but I'll throw it to you guys, see what you think. Okay, let's understand. What's kinuach? Okay.
Washing out your mouth.
Good, washing out your mouth. Now, we know there's a precedent. What is kinuach? What was kinuach established for in general? Like, what's its function? What? You're right. So if you think about it, kinuach functions to do what? To separate what from what? No. More categorical. Come on. What's it there to separate?
Distinct ma'aseh.
Oh, one ma'aseh chila from another ma'aseh chila, right? Maybe Rabbi Yaakov holds, and this is why all the Rishonim don't want to learn this way, maybe he holds that, no, in truth, just relax, okay? In truth, this isn't a new gzera. That really it is built off the gzera of ma'aseh chila. And maybe that's why I don't like Rabbi Yaakov's approach. Maybe what Rabbi Yaakov is saying is that, really, there's an isser already of eating salami and cheese together, right? That exists. And so what they decided to do was they added to that gzera by saying that when you have the two together, you should do kinuach in between. Because what does kinuach do? Kinuach separates out actions of achila. So let me finish, and then you can attack me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so again, like this. I'm just saying, this is my thinking. Maybe he's saying like this. Maybe he's saying that we know that there's an iser derabanan of ma'aseh achila of salami and cheese together. So maybe he's saying, you know what? What did Chazal come along and do? They didn't create this whole business of association. That's not. Rather, what do they do? They just said, very simple, we're going to extend that gzera slightly. We're going to say that, instead of just saying the ma'aseh achila is aser, we're going to say that we want to break apart your ma'aseh achilas. If you break apart your actions of eating, that's what kinuach is there for. Kinuach functions to break apart your actions of eating. And if I don't have kinuach to rely on, what can I use? Because that, of course, kavachomer, that breaks up your eating. Okay? The problem with that, Rabbi Yaakov's approach, is that you get into the problem of, but then it doesn't sound like it's a new gzera. It sounds like
also,
it's a...
has bilateral.
Like Rabbi Yaakov, the first part of the Gemara gets very messy, because the whole bilateral, unilateral issue doesn't make sense in his framework. Okay? But Marukva makes a lot of sense. Because the lashon of the Gemara is Mar'uk was a midas chasidus, and that fits into what he's saying. Because all Rabbi Yaakov cares about is that they took the original iser ma'aseh achila, right, of eating salami and cheese together, and just went one step further and said, you got to break apart the ma'aseh achilas, okay?
Or they just said that unless you break apart, it's all the problems from ma'aseh achila.
Fine.
I mean, it's categorically, it doesn't matter how long you wait unless there's a halachic break. It's one ma'aseh.
According to who?
Rabbi
Yaakov. Yeah. Okay. Fine. You're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas Tosos says, but that's what I'm suggesting. That's what Tosos, again, I'm not going to prove this, but I suggest that Tosos disagrees with that intrinsically. Tosos says, and you see the Ritva struggles. The Ritva says you got to reread this Gemara as Mar Ukva saying you halacha lemaisa. But in doing so, he sacrifices the fluidity of the Gemara. On the other end, though, it fits in much nicer to say it's a new gzera. Okay, and then Tosos, as far as easy, because Tosos is going to hold there's a halacha kafsek and there's a physical idea, an empirical reality. But I want to suggest that's what Rabbi Yaakov is holding.
But you want to suggest Moses holds in the Sfar, but
postulating because there are.
Why don't now take up the issue of waiting between chicken and cheese? Okay, all right. The only this Rambam is going to provide us the background to it because as I'm sure let's just double check here. Okay, does anyone here think you can cook chicken and cheese together?
Yes.
No. No one does this at home, right? Okay, because you're not allowed to. But what's a source for the prohibition of chicken and cheese? Together, it's rabbinical, not d'oraisa. The Torah never says lo savashel of b'chalavimo. All it says is lo savashel gedi b'chalavimo. So all you can deduce from that is what? You cheated already. You should know this. What can you deduce from the Torah?
Red meat.
Meat.
Yeah.
Real meat. Red meat. Right. Red meat. Sorry. Red meat. Take a look at Mamrim Parak Beis Halachatess. This is a good beginning for the issue of oaf. It's in Shoftim. What chelak you in? Isaac, give him your Rambam.
The real one. We have to get donations again.
Yeah, by the way, guys, pay attention. Ho will.
Sure, sit up.
Sit. Ho will, v'yesh. Perek Beis Halacha Tes. All the way to the bottom of 1153.
Oh, 1153. ever say V after Hobo?
Hobi Ishla Basin. Linksor, Vlasor, Davar, Hamutar, Vyamod, Isura, Lidor.
Alright, so Basin has a power to do what?
Basin has a power to usher anything that's mortar.
Right. And that'll last forever. So what Basin, I know everyone hates this, but Basin is empowered with the ability to take something which is 100% permitted by the Torah and tell you what? It's prohibited. Okay? Every Issa Drabanan is that. Okay? It's tame. The Torah said, is there a problem riding a horse on Shabbos? Midoraisa? No. But according to the rabbis, yeah, there is. Okay. The Chen Yeshlan Lahatir.
Chen Yeshlan Lahatir Isurei Torah Lefisha Mahu Zeshis Hira Torah.
Okay, careful the Lashon, right? What does he say? But you, and the Rabbanan, this unfortunately, this never happens anymore. But Bezin's allowed to do what? They're allowed to permit an Issa Daraisa. But what word does he add? Lefishah, temporarily. For instance, Bezin can never come along and say, from now on, carrying on Shabbos is mutter. They can never do that. But what they can do, what they can do is they can say, for the next month, you can carry on Shabbos.
What?
Why would they do that?
How's I don't
that
know. Allowed?
Because that's their mandate. Mishmartem is mishmarti.
So they can say for the next...
But we're saying we got a problem. The Torah tells us what? You're not allowed to add or subtract from the mitzvahs. There's 613 commandments, right? So how could the Chachamim come along and say what?
You can make things awesome.
Right. How do they have the right to do that? If the Torah tells you you cannot add or subtract from the Torah. Okay?
Shalom lo sif al dibri Torah v'lo l'grami.
Right? Okay, so what would be an example of what they can't do? Ketzad. Now here's a relevance to our case. Ketzad. Okay, so what does the Torah tell you that you're not allowed to do? You can't cook what?
The calf and the
okay, now what kind of meat is calf?
Red.
Normative red meat. Okay? Okay. The Torah never says what?
Chicken.
Or? Chaya. Forget fish. Or chaya. The Torah only says what? We'll call it basar. Basar behema. It never mentions chaya, it never mentions oaf.
What's the categorical difference between chaya and behema?
Well, let's call one, let's make it easy. A and B. There's A, B, and C. You'll see why. A, B, and C.
What's an example of chaya?
A wild animal.
So
chaya,
what does that mean?
Like, undomesticated.
What's a kosher
wild animal? I don't know. A deer. Whatever. I don't know. Go on.
Okay.
You
have a pet deer.
Right, so we know midoraisa from the Gemara that you can't do what? You can't cook basar b'chal together. Bain. Whether it's species A or species B. But basar of. So everyone knows that. I can cook chicken and milk together midoraisa. There's no Torah prohibition on cooking the two together. Okay? Keep
is
going.
Is there a prohibition for chaya?
There is a Torah prohibition for chaya.
Oh.
Not for oaf.
Okay.
We know that from the Gemara. Oh, so here's the problem. So they can never say what?
That it's
enjoy your chaya. They can never say that. Cook your chaya with milk. Because what are they doing? They're mattering something that's usher from the Torah. They're permitting something that's prohibited from the Torah. Okay? We'll get to the punchline in just 1 second. Keep going. So what can't they do? They can't say chicken is prohibited, right? Why? Because it's underneath the category of red meat. They can't do that. Because then what would you say? Therefore say? You'd say there are three species of meat that are prohibited, right? Behema, chaya, and oaf. They can't do that. That's not what they're doing when they make an Issa Darabanan. Because worse, they're adding to the Torah. The Torah only told you two. Even though it's an Issa Drabanan, they're saying there's a third now. They can't do that. So when you this is critical. When we say you can't cook chicken with milk, it's not because you treat chicken like a cow. If you think that, then you got a big problem. You understand?
No, I'm saying treat chicken like a cow lest you treat a cow or lest you get confusing.
We're gonna get to that. If you look at the substance of chicken and say that substance is no different than the substance of behema, you got a big
no
problem.
So far as one's derived, one's derbana.
No different. No, even if you say it's derbana, but you say it's the same substance.
So you treat it like the same substance.
Watch. Keep going. So what does Rambam say?
It's
very careful. So what do Bezin have to do? They have to say It's amazing, they have to make this announcement. I've never seen this announcement before, but if they're going to make a gzera, you know what they have to do first? Hey, Jews, guess what? Chicken is mutter from the Torah. Okay? One. Okay? The anu ne'esaroto, and we are creating a prohibition. The nodia lam shu gzera, and we have to inform the people that this is a gzera. Okay? Shelo yavo min adavar charva, and they have to justify it. Again, I don't know if this happens today, but when the gzera comes out, it needs to be explained and rationalized for the people.
Today?
I don't know.
Gzera today?
I don't know. But say, like electricity. No. But say, the nation has to, I don't know. The nation has to be aware of what's going on here and why. So why would you prohibit mixing or cooking chicken with milk? So the Rambam says, V'yomru, ha'of butter, keep going.
Ha'of butter mipnei shalom nitparish b'torah, kacha chayim mitar shari lo
nitparshim. V'yavo acher v'lomar.
Ach b'sar ba'beim ha'mutar chutz minayim.
V'yavo acher lomar.
Ach b'sar ha'yiz mutar b'chalav ha'var o ha'kibsa shalom nemar ela ima.
And keep going. Biyavo acher lomar.
Ach b'chalav ha'yiz she'ena ima mutar.
Lefikach. Veins and Mosif. Ela Osa. Which is what? What's a siyag? Offense. Okay? Okay. But what's he saying? He's saying like this. He's saying that, you see, why do they aser chicken? Why do they prohibit chicken? Very simple. Because if they didn't prohibit chicken, well, what could a person say based on one simple assumption? Chicken, it's not red meat, but it's meaty-ish. Okay? You have to accept that assumption that people relate to chicken as meat. Ish. Okay? Does anyone disagree with that assumption? Can we go on?
Yeah.
Right? You do? Damn it. Assuming fish. Like, fish is always a good question. Okay? So you can argue that you have to shecht a chicken, right? You have to it's killed in different ways in the fish. There's no shechita by fish, you're just catching it, and you're done.
Yeah, okay? people
that assumption in mind, the Rambam saying as follows. He's saying that what's a person gonna say? Well, guess what? Does the Torah tell you can't have chicken and milk together? Nope. But the Torah also never tells you that you can't have chaya and milk together, right? So if the Torah never said I can't have chicken and milk together, which means I can, maybe I can have chaya and milk together. And then the Rambam starts his causal stream. Then maybe a person will say, the Torah only tells, I mean, you asked this before, the Torah only says, lo savasho gediba chalevimo. Never says an aze, never says another kind of animal, another type of behemoth. So what's going to end up happening? The whole B'nai Yisrael are going to start eating meat and milk together, okay? So the Rambam's saying, what are Chazal doing? They want to stop a causal stream from taking place, an intellectual causal stream, which is where a person starts saying, if this is not listening to Torah, maybe all these other things are mutter, and then people are going to be over Isuri Daraisa, and then we're going to be all driven to Gehenna. So, the Rambam says, therefore, what do?
Nothingness.
We come up with a gzera of eating, of not being able to cook chicken and milk together. But it's not a new category. That's the key thing. In Chulin, okay, we see a very interesting halacha, where it says Tana.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to read. It says, Tana Agra Chamuad Rebbe Ava, Ovu Gvina Ne'echon Be'api Korinhu. Okay? What does that mean? That's the one line I want to get out there, and then we'll stop. That the Gemara tells you that there's no problem eating, the literal translation is, there's no problem doing what?
Cheese. Chicken and cheese.
Right. I can't eat them together. But what can I do? I can have them in the same meal. I can have them in the same meal. So, whoa, but what does that... Now, just think about this for a second. What does that imply? Does that make sense to you?
It's not that they made something that has a exact same look, so does it mean, rather, they just made it sort of fuel.
And yet, the problem is, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says in Machalos Asuros, and this is what you're going to have to start working on for tomorrow, he says like this. He says...
Right.
Shh. Don't. Why did you steal my thunder? No. Everything's thunder. He says, "Mishachal basar b'tchila, bein basar behemer, bein basar oaf, lo yochal achar av chalav." So the Rambam holds, you have to wait 6 hours, whether it's red meat or chicken. But why? And how does he learn the Gemara? Because the Gemara openly says, seems to openly say, I can have one after the other. Okay. We'll review this tomorrow morning, and I'll show you what I want you guys to prepare. Okay? All right.